Acts chapter number 7, we're learning a lot about a man named Stephen. We're reading in Acts chapter 6 and 7, and even at a chapter number 8, the story about this man in the book of Acts, a man by the name of Stephen. In Acts chapter number 7, we've been looking at the message that he preached. You and I have spent a little bit of time just talking in previous messages about the man that he was and about the ministry that he received, a ministry of serving the needy and the neglected in the life of the early church. And we looked at all the miracles that he performed according to chapter 6 and verse number 8. And the mob that he faced, and that is that Stephen faced off against a mob of people coming from a synagogue there in Jerusalem, and that brought accusations against him. They tried to debate him, but he's so full of God that they cannot debate him successfully. And so they began to attack him with accusations. The accusations of blasphemy were false. Nevertheless, they made them. Blasphemy against God, blasphemy against Moses, against the law, against the temple. A serious charge that is worthy of death under Jewish law, worthy of being stoned under Jewish law. They incited the people, the Jewish people, against Stephen. And with their accusations, they incited the Jewish leaders as well. And he was arrested and brought before the Jewish Sanhedrin Council. And it was there that the accusations against him became formal charges in front of the Jewish high court, the Sanhedrin. And while he was standing before them, he was given the opportunity to address the accusations against him. The Bible tells us in the last verse of chapter number 6 that as he did so, that his face appeared to them like the face of an angel. And that is assuming that it was glowing with the glory of God like that of an angel as he stood in front of them. And as he defended himself against the false accusations, he also preached a message. And that is, it's the message that it culminates with verse number 51, where we read these words. And that is, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." The message is about resisting God. It is about the danger of resisting God in verse number 51, dealing primarily with the fact that they are resisting and continuing to resist the Holy Spirit of God that we'll deal with in another message. And then it's a message of confrontation. He's confronting them. He's using confrontational language when he uses the word stiff-necked and when he uses the word uncircumcised. And that is, he is confronting them with their rejection of God, their rebellion against God, their stubbornness towards God and the things of God. It's a message of confrontation. It's also a message of comparison, because he said that just like your fathers did, your ancestors, so do ye. And then he takes them back into history, into Jewish history, and begins to show them what their ancestors did. And then he compares that to what it is that they are doing. And the comparison is such that it becomes obvious that what they are doing, the Jewish leaders, is even worse than what their ancestors did in the Old Testament by far. As we've been looking at the message that Stephen preached here in chapter number 7, we discovered it was a message about resisting God's saviors. That is, we discovered that God sent Israel, in Israelite history, that God sent them some saviors to save them from destruction. One of those saviors that he mentions is a savior named Joseph that God sent down into Egypt and brought him up out of a prison to the right hand of Pharaoh to save them from a terrible famine that was in the land. But do you know, the ladies and gentlemen, the patriarchs, Joseph's brothers, that they resisted and rejected this man named Joseph, the savior that God sent? They resisted him and rejected him and even sold him into slavery. The second Savior that he mentions in this message that you and I have looked at is a Savior named Moses. And that is Moses that God sent down into Egypt to deliver the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage, to save them from annihilation, to save them from destruction as a nation at the hands of those who were bent on destroying them. Moses, the Savior that God sent to them when he first came to them, first presented himself to them at the age of 40 years old, they said, "We will not have this man to reign over us." And they resisted the one that God raised up in the household of Pharaoh to save them from the bondage in Egypt. It wasn't until he came the second time, let me remind you, that he was able to bring them out. But even then, they continued to resist him in the wilderness. It is a message, ladies and gentlemen, about resisting God's saviors. The history of Israel is that they resisted God's saviors. But I want you to notice with me now as we continue to look at this message that Stephen preached, that it's not only a message about resisting God's saviors, but it's also a message about resisting God's Son. Verse 52. We're going to skip verse 51 and come back to it for the conclusion of the message in a future message. Verse 52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Verses 51 through 53 are Stephen's transition in his message from the history of Israel's rejection of the saviors that God sent them to the actual Jewish leaders that were right before him who had resisted and rejected the Son of God himself. In other words, if all the previous part of the message was sort of the background, if it was sort of the foundation, now comes the application of the message. And that is, he's applying it directly to them. And as Stephen makes this transition in these verses, notice with me again what he said about the prophets that were persecuted. Now we're going to look at the Messiah that was murdered, but let's notice first the prophets that were persecuted. Verse 52 again. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? Implying that they persecuted most of them. And notice, they've slain them. Notice now, which showed before of the coming of the just one. Stephen is reminding the Jewish leaders that in Israelite history, God not only sent saviors to Israel to save them, like Joseph and like Moses, but God also sent to them prophets as well. And those prophets that God sent to them were sent to reveal to them the truth of God. They are, by the very definition of a prophet, those who told them the truth of God, revealed the truth to them, and Stephen reminds them of that. As Stephen spoke about the prophets, he first of all focused on the revelation of the prophets. And that is, he tells us in verse number 52 that these prophets showed beforehand, the coming of the just one. In other words, the prophets of the Old Testament revealed many truths to the people of Israel. They revealed to them the truth about the person of God. That is who God is. They revealed to them the purpose of God. What God's purpose and plan in the world and with humanity, and what God's plan and purpose for Israel was as well. These prophets are the one who revealed the truth about the creation of God, how God created all things. They revealed the truth about the enemy of God. The prophets revealed the truth about the devil, the enemy of God, and how he operates and what he did in the garden. These are the prophets that revealed the truth about the man of God, the man that God created named Adam, and the woman that he made for him, and what happened to them in the garden. It is these prophets that reveal also, ladies and gentlemen, the truth about the judgment of God. That is, they stood and they preached to the people of Israel and the people of Judah that if they did not repent of their idolatry, that the judgment of God would come upon them. They thundered the message, and that is that you're going in the wrong direction, you're making the wrong decisions, you're doing the wrong things, and you're headed for judgment. But they also revealed the truth about the Son of God. That is, these prophets revealed the truth about the coming of the Son of God into the world to save us. They prophesied beforehand that this was going to happen. The prophets, ladies and gentlemen, divinely inspired and led by the Spirit of God, foretold the coming of the Christ. That is, that the just one, the righteous one, would come. Now, this term that is used of our Lord here in verse number 52, the term the just one, means this. This is the one who is completely righteous. As a matter of fact, the word just means righteous. It refers to his righteousness. And it means that he is the one who is righteous. The righteous one. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, he's the only one who is. He is the righteous one. It is a term that is used scarcely about our Lord, but it is used deliberately by those who used it to tie this back to the Old Testament and the prophecies about the righteous one that would come. And it is so used here. And by the way, this is a title that Peter also used in his message in Acts chapter number 3. If you're interested in Stephen's message, you might compare it to Peter's message and you'll see some real similarities. In Acts chapter number 3 and verse number 11, here we find the apostle Peter preaching a message after the healing of the lame man. The Bible says in verse 11, as a lame man which was healed held Peter and John and all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering, man is healed and people are trying to find out what happened. They come to where he is at. He's there with Peter. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? Why are you looking at me as though I did it? It's the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up, denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Now listen to this now. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted to you. So whenever Peter was preaching to the Jewish leaders, the same Jewish leaders that Stephen is now standing before, and he is calling them out because of the fact that they rejected the Christ, their Messiah, that is the one that God sent to save them. They rejected him. They turned against him. They denied him. Whenever the Pilate offered him up, they denied him and chose Barabbas instead. As he is calling them out, ladies and gentlemen, he refers to Jesus as the one who is holy and just, that is making it clear that he is the very one that the prophets in the Old Testament prophesied about. By the way, this title, the just or the just one, that is being used here, not only used by Peter, but it's also used by Paul as well. And it's used by Paul, like Peter, in Jerusalem. That is, as he is addressing the Jews. And in Acts chapter number 22, the apostle Paul has been arrested in Jerusalem. After he got arrested, that is the Jews, he is such a polarizing figure. And Paul is. That is, as he preached the word of God, as he stood for the things of God, as he exposed the unbelief and the sin of the Jewish leaders, they raged against him. And as a result of that, they arrested him and they were about ready to tear this man apart. They were so enraged they wanted to kill him. But remember that Paul is a Roman citizen as well. And so the Romans came into the city of Jerusalem, the Roman soldiers who have a fort right outside the city. They come into the city to see what's going on. They take Paul into their custody because the Jews are about ready to kill him. They take him into their custody. And as they do, Paul asks for an opportunity to address the Jewish crowd. And indeed, he did. And he gave them a message, the Jewish leaders, just like Peter did in Acts 3, just like Stephen did in Acts 7. We find that also Paul does in Acts chapter number 22. Listen to a little portion of that message, Acts 22 verse 12. And one, he's talking about when he got saved. He's giving them his testimony in the middle of his message. And he's talking about after he got saved on the Damascus Road, how that Ananias came to him and helped him in Damascus. He said in verse number 12, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews that dwelt there, came unto me. And he stood and he said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him, my sight was restored. I was able to see him. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, listen now, and see the just one, and should hear the voice of his mouth. He refers to him, the Lord Jesus, the one that Paul met on the Damascus Road, the one that he saw with his eyes in all of his glory, the one that he heard with his ears as he spoke to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And refers to him as the just or the righteous one. Just like Peter did in Jerusalem. And just like Stephen did in Jerusalem. Even so Paul does as well. That he is trying to help these Jewish leaders realize that this one, Jesus, is the same one that the prophets referred to when they referred to the righteous or the just one that would come. Who are these prophets who revealed the truth about the coming of the just one? Who are they? That is, if the prophets of the Old Testament foretold the coming of the Christ or the Just One, just who are they? We've already met one of them in previous message, and that is a man named Moses. Moses not only was a great leader, but he was also a great prophet. And in Acts chapter number 7, back in our text, in verse number 37, we discovered that in his message, Stephen reminds us of the prophecy of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter number 18. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear. It is a quotation from Deuteronomy chapter number 18, ladies and gentlemen. As you and I discovered when we dealt with that verse, Moses prophesied to the Israelites that there was coming one of these days, and a prophet that would speak the word of God plainly, clearly and perfectly and completely, and that they would hear him. He's going to be a Moses-like prophet. And ladies and gentlemen, that Moses-like prophet is the very one that is the person of Jesus Christ. Peter also, in his message, I said to you, there's many comparison between Peter's message in Acts 3 and Stephen's message here in Acts 7. In Acts chapter number 3, as Peter was preaching, ladies and gentlemen, he not only referred to Jesus as the Just One, but he also reminded the Jewish leaders of that same prophecy by Moses in chapter 3 and verse number 18. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of his prophets. God beforehand by the mouth of his prophets showed what? Why, that Christ should suffer. He has so fulfilled. And so he said, repent, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. For Moses, verse number 22, Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto him. Him shall ye hear, and all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Again, in Acts 3 and Acts chapter number 7, the message, there's parallels in the message. It looks like it's the same Spirit of God inspiring Peter's message that is also inspiring and motivating and leading this man named Stephen as he preaches. And one thing the Spirit of God wants everyone to know in Jerusalem, including the Jewish leaders, that the Christ that they crucified is not only the Just One, the Righteous One that the prophets look forward to, but he's also the same one that Moses prophesied about. That is that prophet that would come. It's the Christ. Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy. Moses foretold about the coming of the Just One. Not only did Moses tell, listen, we could go all the way through the Old Testament prophets and we could look at prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, but you and I, ladies and gentlemen, would not get finished with this message until Christmas time. So we're just looking at a few samples. Not only is there Moses, but David. David prophesied in the Psalms as he wrote them about the coming of the Christ, about the fact that the Christ would come, about the fact that he would suffer and die. Listen to Psalm 22 for just a moment, just to give you a sampling, and there are many other examples. But in Psalm 22:1, listen to these words from David. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You say, Pastor, I think I remember those words from somewhere. They're the very words that our Lord spoke on the cross, revealed by David hundreds of years before our Lord spoke them. Not only that, but listen in Psalm 22. Listen as David continues. In verse number 6, he writes, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. You say, Pastor, again, that sounds familiar to me. It sounds like the mockers, those who mocked Jesus at the cross. Indeed, that's exactly what it is, a prophecy of the suffering of Christ as he hung there on the cross. In Psalm 22, verse 13, they gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaves to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. David is telling us what's going to happen when the coming of the Just One takes place, the awful suffering of the agony that he'll experience, the death that he will die. The prophecies, the messianic prophecies found in the Psalms of David, ladies and gentlemen, include not only Psalm 22, but throughout the Psalms. And you'll see their fulfillment. Psalm 68:18 fulfilled Ephesians 4. Psalm 69:21 describes, ladies and gentlemen, the scene at the cross described in John 19, verses 28 through 30. Psalm 110 and verse number 1 is the very psalm that is quoted by Peter in his message in Acts chapter number 2 to demonstrate that Jesus is the Christ. Psalm 118 verses 22 and 23, ladies and gentlemen, are quoted in Acts chapter number 4 again by Peter as he proclaims the gospel, demonstrating that, listen, what David foresaw in the Psalms is fulfilled in Christ. David is one of those prophets, ladies and gentlemen, that wrote about, that told us, that foretold about the coming of the just one, that foretold about the coming of Christ. It's not only Moses, but it's David. How about Nathan the prophet? You remember him? Nathan was one of those great prophets during the reign of King David. And David decided one day that he wanted to build a house for God. And so he consulted with Nathan the prophet. And Nathan the prophet had an answer for him that foretold about the coming of the just one, that is, of the Christ. In 2 Samuel chapter number 7 and verse number 12, listen to the words of David. He says to the words of Nathan to David. He said, when your days be fulfilled and you'll sleep with your fathers, that is when you die, I'll set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom, that is, your son is going to reign. Listen, he'll build a house for my name. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom, listen to this now, forever. Forever. Verse 16 says, and thine house, and thine kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. There's going to be a king coming out of the descendants of David that is going to reign forever and ever and ever. That is, Nathan is prophesying about the coming of the righteous one, the just one, the coming of the Christ. Moses was one of those prophets that foretold about the coming of the Christ. David is one of those prophets in the Psalms that foretold about the coming of the Christ. Nathan is one of those prophets that foretold about the coming of the Christ. Isaiah, over and over again in the book of Isaiah, foretold about the coming of the Christ. We'll look at a little sampling of the great prophet Isaiah. Some of you might remember this one, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's from Isaiah. He is prophesying the virgin birth. That is the coming of Emmanuel, God with us. The very verses that are mentioned to us in Matthew chapter number 1, whenever the angel appeared to Joseph and said that Mary was going to conceive and bring the Son of God into the world. Not only do you have Isaiah chapter number 7, but Isaiah chapter number 9. Listen to verse number 2. It says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. You say, what is that a prophecy? It's a prophecy about the coming of the Christ into the world that is quoted, ladies and gentlemen. These very verses are quoted, the Bible tells us, in the book of Matthew, chapter number 4, as the Lord began his ministry, and he began to preach the gospel, and he began to call them to repent. In Matthew chapter number 4, these verses are quoted. They are fulfilled in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to these words in Isaiah 9 verse 6. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I think I know who this is, don't you? Just in case you don't, listen to the next verse. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice. Yes, he is the just one from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Listen, Isaiah is prophesying about the coming of Christ into the world. In Isaiah chapter number 28 and verse number 16, listen to this prophecy. Isaiah 28:16. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste or be confounded. Listen to me, the Bible tells us here about a foundation stone, a cornerstone that is to come. Do you know this very verse is quoted by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and referring to the coming of the Christ, referring Jesus as being prophesied right here in the book of Isaiah, hundreds of years before. He sure is. How could we not remember Isaiah 53? Oh, the classic passage dealing with the coming of the Christ. Listen to Isaiah 53, just a few verses, and you'll remember this chapter. Let me just read to you verse number 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we're healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Listen, that's just 3 verses, ladies and gentlemen, out of 12. And all 12 of those verses in Isaiah 53 are all pointing to the Christ. The Christ that would come into the world. The Christ that would, listen, live humbly in this world. The Christ that would go to the cross and suffer for our sins on that cross and then be resurrected, buried with the rich and resurrected the third day. That's right. Isaiah is prophesying about this one called Jesus. It's this very prophecy in Isaiah 53 that is quoted throughout the New Testament. Over and over again, including the Ethiopian eunuch passage in Acts chapter number 8. Whenever he was reading from Isaiah 53 and Philip went and preached Christ to him. That is, it's talking about Jesus. Now you'd wonder, would you not? I mean, you and I look back and we would say, how could the Jews not know? How could the Jewish leaders not realize with all of these prophecies that are throughout the Old Testament, how could they not know that Jesus is the Christ? That he is the promised Messiah? How could they not know? It lends to the blindness that Jesus spoke about. That is, they had eyes, but they could not see, ears, but they could not hear. And indeed, it's true. Listen to Isaiah 61. Isaiah chapter number 61, verse number 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. You say, Pastor, that verse sounds familiar to me as well. And the reason why is because when Jesus was in his hometown of Nazareth, he went to the synagogue. And at the synagogue, ladies and gentlemen, he was given the opportunity to read the Scripture. And he read, ladies and gentlemen, from this very passage, Isaiah chapter number 61. And after he read these very verses, he sat down. Everybody looked at him, waiting for him to teach the scriptures and the meaning of them. And here's what he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. That is, God has fulfilled this scripture. Jesus is saying that he's the fulfillment of that prophecy. And indeed, he is. He sure is. Who are these prophets that revealed the truth about the coming of the just one? We know it was Moses, don't we? We know certainly it was David. We know that Nathan the prophet talked about that eternal king that was to come. We know that, ladies and gentlemen, Isaiah over and over again, the book of Isaiah foretold the coming of the Christ in the book of Isaiah. Listen to Jeremiah for just a moment. In Jeremiah chapter number 23 and verse number 5, behold, the days come. Now listen to these. Listen to this closely as I read it. In Jeremiah 23 and verse number 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. That is a branch going to come out of the family tree. Amen. Y'all have done a family tree or seen one before. David has a family tree. And one of these days coming out of the family tree, there's going to be a branch, but he's going to be the righteous one, the just one, a righteous branch. It's going to be a king that shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and justice in all the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved. Israel will dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called. Are you ready for this? Hold on now. Here's what we're going to call him. The Lord, our righteousness. Oh, yes. He is the righteous one or the just one, ladies and gentlemen. Jeremiah is prophesying about the very one that Stephen is saying is the just one. Daniel was a great prophet of God. And Daniel as well looked forward to the coming and prophesied about the coming of the Christ. In Daniel chapter number 7, verse number 13, Daniel said, I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days and brought him near before him. And there was given unto him dominion, glory, kingdom, that all the people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be delivered. Daniel was looking forward in time to the coming of the Christ, who would come, ladies and gentlemen, and he would rule and reign in a kingdom that would last forever and ever and ever. Daniel was prophesying about the coming of the Christ. There's the prophet Micah. Listen to Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. You may, listen, this may sound a little bit familiar to you. In Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2, it says, But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. That is in Bethlehem. There's going to come one out of Bethlehem who is the one who has been from everlasting. It's talking about the birth of Christ in Bethlehem, quoted, ladies and gentlemen, in Matthew chapter number 2, to define the very place where the Christ would be born in Bethlehem. Micah was prophesying about the coming of the Christ and his very birth in Bethlehem in Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. How about the prophet Zechariah? You say, Pastor, this could just go on forever. That's what I'm telling you. Christmas is coming. How about the prophet Zechariah? Listen to him for just a moment or two. Listen to Zechariah for a couple minutes. In Zechariah chapter number 3 and verse number 8, Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. That is the same branch that Jeremiah talked about, the branch out of David's family. He said, I'm going to bring him forth. Listen to chapter number 6 and verse 12, speaking to him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, he shall grow up out of his place. He'll build the temple of the Lord, even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. He'll be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. In other words, there's one coming who's going to be a king and a priest. I think I know who he is. He is indeed the branch, the descendant of David that was prophesied about by Jeremiah. Listen to chapter 9 and verse number 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He's coming. He's just, having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. You say, Pastor, that reminds me of the fact of the triumphal entry of Christ. Y'all, Zechariah prophesied about it hundreds of years before it ever happened. That is the coming of the Christ into Jerusalem. Listen to chapter number 11 and verse number 12 of the book of Zechariah. It says, And I said unto them, If you think good, give me my price. If not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, Cast it unto the potter, a goodly price, that I was prized at them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. You know what that's a prophecy of? It's a prophecy of the betrayal of Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, after which his crucifixion was thrown back into the house of the Lord and used to buy the potter's field. Hundreds of years before it happened. Absolutely. Chapter 12 and verse number 10. Zechariah, what do you say? And I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him, as one mourneth for his only son. And shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Prophesying about the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ. Zechariah 13:7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. And against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. You say, Pastor, that sounds like what Jesus said on the way to the garden. The shepherd is going to be smitten, and the sheep are going to be scattered. Indeed, he quoted these very words. They're fulfilled, ladies and gentlemen, in the arrest of Jesus and the crucifixion of Christ. These prophets are foreseeing and foretelling about the coming of the just one. The very last prophet that you have in your Bible is the prophet Malachi. Listen to what he says in chapter number 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts, who may abide the day of his coming, who shall stand when he appeareth. For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. It's talking about, ladies and gentlemen, Malachi is prophesying about the coming of the forerunner, John the Baptist, followed by the coming of the promised Messiah, that is the coming of the Christ, who comes suddenly into his temple, and that is like a refiner's fire, like fuller's soap, cleansing the temple. It's prophesied right here, ladies and gentlemen, in the book of Malachi. Here's what we're learning about. We're learning about the revelation of the prophets. The prophets of the Old Testament revealed the coming of the Just One. Stephen is reminding these Jews of that. Not only of the revelation of the prophets, but also the resistance against the prophets. Look again at verse number 52 back in our text. Notice what it says. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them. The very ones, ladies and gentlemen, which showed before of the coming of the Just One. That is, these prophets, the ones who prophesied, the ones who foretold under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit the coming of the Christ, the Just One, they have been persecuted and slain. That is, they were resisted and they were rejected, even to the point of killing them. Now, this is not a new point to the Jewish leaders, and the reason why is because Jesus also in his ministry made the same point. Look in Luke chapter number 11 and you'll see what I'm talking about. In Luke chapter number 11, the Bible says, beginning in verse number 47, woe unto you. Now listen, when the Lord Jesus says woe unto you, it has nothing to do with horseback riding. It is an announcement of judgment. And everybody in Judaism, the Jewish leaders understood that term. Woe unto you means you are under judgment. Here's why. For you build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Yeah, they built tombs that were to be memorials to the prophets of old. But he says it was your ancestors, your fathers, that killed them. Notice verse 48. Truly, you bear witness that you allowed the deeds of your fathers. That is, you permit what they did. That is, you're okay with what they did. For they indeed killed them. And you build their sepulchres. They are the very ones who killed the prophets. And you build their tombs. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, now listen to this, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. Here's what the Lord said, that God is going to bring judgment upon all of the prophets that have been slain, and the judgment is going to come on this generation. That is, the Jews of the first century, the ones that our Lord spoke to and the ones that later Stephen spoke to, are the very ones that are going to be held accountable for the persecution and the killing of the prophets. Listen to verse 51. From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. That is, these Jews are going to be held accountable for the slaying of the prophets from Abel to Zacharias. Now you remember Abel, don't you? It's the same Abel we read about in Genesis chapter number 4. Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, the first two sons. That is, of Adam and Eve, and how they, in Genesis chapter number 4, they brought their sacrifices to the Lord. And when they brought their sacrifices to the Lord in Genesis chapter number 4, the Bible tells us that Cain brought the grain, the fruit that he had grown, and he offered it up to the Lord. And Abel brought a blood sacrifice, an animal. killed the animal and shed his blood and brought the sacrifice, the one that God required. It's only by the shedding of blood that our sin can be dealt with. And he brought the right sacrifice. So God accepted Abel's sacrifice. He rejected Cain's sacrifice. And in some way they knew that. And as a result of that, Cain became jealous and envious. And that jealousy and that envy built on the inside of him until he killed his own brother. Now listen, Abel was a prophet. Not by necessarily what he said, but what he did, by the sacrifice that he offered. His sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen, was prophesying and looking forward to the coming of the Lamb of God that would be slain at Calvary's cross. That's what's so important about these sacrifices, is what they were pointing towards, the Christ that would come. And so Abel was prophesying, and yet we find that the one that is his own brother despised him. That is, this great prophet named Abel was, ladies and gentlemen, despised by his own brother to the point that his brother killed him. That is, his own brother, Abel. He not only mentions Abel, but our Lord, in the passage we looked at in Luke 11, mentions Zacharias. From Abel to Zacharias. You say, who is this Zacharias? He's a prophet, ladies and gentlemen, that's discovered and revealed in 2 Chronicles chapter number 24 to us. Listen to this verse. 2 Chronicles 24 and verse number 20. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people and said unto them, Why, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandment of the Lord that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. Now listen, nobody likes to be confronted with their sin and wickedness. But listen, the man of God, Zacharias, the Spirit of God moved upon him, and he said, listen, you've transgressed against God, that's why you can't prosper. That's why it is that you're not being blessed. That's the reason why you're in the mess that you're in, because you've turned your back on God. Speaking of their idolatry. And that's why you, listen, whenever somebody confronts you with your sin, there's something on the inside of you that gets defensive against that. And that's especially true of those who love their sin. And so the Bible says in the next verse, they conspired against him. And they stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king. At the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord, just like Jesus said. Joash the king gave the command. And this man, Zechariah, he was killed. He was stoned to death, ladies and gentlemen. And the reason why is because he prophesied the truth to them. He sure did. They hated him for it. They were enraged. Because of it. Why, Jesus told us that this would happen. Luke 13, 34, listen to what he says. He told us about it. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jesus said, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent to thee, how oft would I have gathered the children together as a hen doth her brood under her wings, and you wouldn't. You wouldn't come to me. It wasn't just Abel and Zacharias, but it's everybody, prophets in between. Jezebel wanted to kill Elijah. She was looking for him to kill him in 1 Kings 19. Micaiah in 1 Kings 22, persecuted. Jeremiah treated, ladies and gentlemen, the great prophet Jeremiah, arrested, thrown into a dungeon, sunk in the mud, left there. Jeremiah prosecuted, tormented as a result. Do you know that Moses, that great prophet and leader of God that loved the Israelites so much, brought them out of Egyptian bondage? Do you know in Numbers 14 at Kadesh Barnea that they wanted to stone him to death? They would have if God's glory hadn't have come upon the tabernacle and stopped him. Stephen is making a point. He's making a point that the ancestors of these Jewish leaders persecuted the prophets, the very prophets who pointed to the Christ that would come. And then he drives the point home in verse 51 when he says, as your fathers did, so do ye. Their fathers persecuted the prophets, the very prophets that pointed to Christ, and killed some of them. But these Jewish leaders have done even worse. Because, listen, ladies and gentlemen, they killed the very Christ that the prophets only pointed to. And therefore, Jesus made it clear. And it looks like that Stephen is reinforcing that truth, that it's going to be upon these Jews, this generation, that the judgment of God that has been building and building and building throughout the generations of rejecting his prophets, it will be upon this generation that the judgment of God will be pointed, will be poured out. And they are the ones who will be held accountable. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. How dangerous it is to resist God. This generation of Jews are resisting the very Son of God that was prophesied about the prophets. And for that reason, the judgment of God is going to be poured out upon them. They're going to be destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, they will be destroyed. Not only are they in danger of the damnation of hell that Jesus said in Matthew 23, but he said also that their house would be left desolate. That is, their Jerusalem will be completely destroyed. And the reason why is not because of politics. It's not because of the Roman army. But I tell you the reason why is because God brought judgment upon them. And the reason why they were under judgment is because they rejected God's Son. Hope that you're beginning to see, as this message continues to unfold, the danger of resisting God. You can't resist God and turn out okay. Say it again. You cannot resist God and turn out okay. The danger of resisting God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your truth. I pray, Father, that you would do a work in each one of our hearts. Lord, we're such a needy people. God, I pray that you, Father, would help us. Lord, those who are in this room and those who are listening by other means. God, that you've been dealing with and speaking to and working in, who continue to resist and reject you. That God, they would realize the danger they're in, the judgment that is upon them, the hell that awaits them. God, would you open those eyes? Would you let them see? God, would you work in those hearts? Would you break through, God, that hardness for your glory? And we'll give you the praise for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.